Hey guys, before we get rolling here, I just want to thank those of you who have left me a review on iTunes. This helps me keep the podcast free, so please keep them coming. Tell your friends. I also want to thank those guys that have been sending in the questions. This is what this podcast is about. It's about getting you the info that you need to help become a better hunter. Now you can actually go to my website, interviewswiththehuntingmasters.com, and click on the Ask the Pro section. And you can send me your questions there, and you can even suggest a guest. And lastly, before we jump into this episode, I want to shed a little light on one of my sponsors, Sneak Tech Sneak Boots. I've been wearing them now for several years, and they've really upped my stalking game. I'm not a very sneaky person, and I find that extra added stealthiness that they give me has really, really improved my stalk. I believe in them so much that I've decided to give away one pair each month to a lucky subscriber. So if you're a subscriber, once a month, I'm going to be announcing a winner to win a pair of Sneak Tech boots. So go ahead and go check them out at sneaktech.com, and that's SneekTech.com. Let's get to the next episode. Welcome to another live edition of Interviews with the Hunting Masters. Today we're going to talk a little bit about draw, you know, strategies and out-of-state tag strategies. We're going to basically help you put together a system, or at least give you some information to help you start putting together a system and start getting some of these premier tags, or just get the hunting opportunities. So without further ado, I have Robert Hanneman on the phone with us. He's the chief researcher for Hunting Fool. So Robert does this day in, day out, helps people achieve their dreams with Hunting Fool and getting these premier tags. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. Can't complain. Just my computer's not, is throwing me off, so it seems like I'm going a little choppy right now. It's because it keeps beeping at me. It's like every time I say something, it's beeping at something else. It's making me sound a little funny here. But otherwise, today's good, man. Good day. Got up nice and early, hit the gym. I drew 2 elk tags so far this year, so I got to get my butt in shape. So,
which elk tags did you draw?
I got a Wyoming tag 35 in the bighorns, and I got that's archery, and then I got an archery elk in the central manti in Utah.
Nice.
Yeah, no, that's, excited about that.
That ought to be good. Yeah. No, so I drew an Arizona archery elk tag, so that started my year out pretty good, and then I got a Montana 900 elk tag, so it's going to be a busy year.
Nice. Those are both good tags. How long did it take you to get the Montana tag?
I'm a resident, so I can do it every year.
Geez, that's right. I forgot you.
Yeah.
I forgot you're in, where you were, Missoula?
Just south of Missoula, yep. So, yeah, I work for the Hunt Full. I'm down there December through about May 15th, and then the rest of the year I'm going to spend in Montana, so it's pretty good living.
Which tag did you get in Arizona?
I drew unit 22 on the archery tag.
Oh, jeez, that's a good tag.
Yeah, and it's after the muzzleloader and rifle season this year, so.
Yeah, they moved it.
Yeah, I'm excited. That late rut's going to be great this year.
Yeah, yeah. It seems to be in cycles, and it's definitely – this is the year that it comes. This is the cycle of the year that it comes a little bit later. I'm glad they finally made some adjustments on some of those tags. So far I just got those 2 elk tags. I also drew a deer tag in that central manti as well. Other than that, I'm playing the over the counter game. Going to go to California in July. And then I will, from there, my first hunt will be that Utah hunt. I'm going to do the earlier August part of that hunt because of the Wyoming tag. And then I'll have the hunt in Wyoming, and then I go to Missouri, do a little whitetail hunting, New York, a little whitetail hunting. Then actually right now, right before we got on the line, I was filling out my tag or my application for a deer tag in South Dakota for statewide archery. And so I plan on doing that in November, and then pretty much finishing out my season here. I'm dialing it back a little this year. I usually do about 12 hunts, but I'm going to do probably 6 to 8 tops. So got a lot on my plate.
So. No, it sounds like it. Did you draw 35 with someone, or did you put it on your own?
On my own.
Okay. I got a buddy up here in Missoula that drew that 35 archery tag.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it should be a good hunt.
Yeah, it's a good area. I've been there before. My buddy lives there, and I've hunted with him a couple times there. I actually helped him get his last bull there. So yeah, it's definitely a good tag, and I have high expectations for it. So I'm gonna try to hold out. I got a little bit more time to spend there, and I'm going kind of like peak of the rut. So hopefully we'll be able to put something together, get some good on the ground. Utah, I've only hunted that unit once. I hunted it last year for deer. I got an idea where, you know, where some bulls are. I actually watched about a 340, 350 bull, for, you know, about 10, 15 minutes, one morning when I was glassing for deer. So I got an idea. I'm excited.
No, that's good. Well, that's what's nice. You draw a couple good tags, and you can fill in the rest of the season with over-the-counter tags.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of some of the stuff I want to talk to you about today. I know a lot of guys are kind of intimidated about getting into the, you know, the tag game, and, you know, not everybody, you know, has experience or has anybody to lean on. You know, to be perfectly honest, I've been doing this for years. I've been putting in for like 30, 40 tags a year for, I don't know, a long time. And that's why everybody's like, oh, you get so many tags. I'm like, well, shit, I've been putting in forever. And I put in for so many. I throw my name in so many hats. Eventually, I'm going to pull something. Why don't you give us a quick rundown about yourself, and then we'll jump into some of these questions that I got, and then we'll see if anybody online right here has got any.
Well, cool. So my name is Robert Hanneman. I've been working for the Hunt and Full since 2012. Me and Garth Jensen are the main two guys that write most of the research that goes into the magazine. It's a great job. We get to spend a lot of time in the field every year. Both of us probably do in the neighborhood of, you know, 12 to 15 hunts a year. And I would say 80% of those are over the counter hunts. And, you know, we can't, if you just waited on draw tags your whole life, you'd never be able to draw those. And over the counter tags is kind of the reason I ended up in Montana. So I was born and raised in a little town called Fernley, Nevada, and, you know, grew up there and graduated high school. And, you know, you get to start hunting when you're 12 in Nevada. And every single year I got lucky and I got a deer tag, you know, because I was willing to pick up a bow, muzzleloader, rifle, whatever it took. So, but it just wasn't enough for me. And I hated living and dying by the draw. And so I started to kind of explore other options. And a buddy of mine, a real good friend in high school, his dad was one of the original Hunting Full members. So he had this stapled together little 4 or 5 pieces of that paper that kind of explained, you know, hey, start applying the West, look at other options. So I started doing that in high school. You know, my buddy at 16 started applying for Arizona, Utah, Oregon, and kind of started expanding from there. You know, I got to be about 20 years old, and I'd done some guiding in a couple of different places and moved around and just couldn't get enough hunting. So I decided I needed to move away from Nevada. As much as I hated to leave Nevada, I needed more opportunity. So I ended up looking at Alaska, Idaho, Wyoming, and Montana. My mom and dad vetoed Alaska right off the bat. They're like, it's just way too far away. So, you know, I started looking at those three states and I ended up choosing Montana. So I moved to Montana and I was probably hunting 200 days a year with all the over-the-counter tags in Montana. And I was living 30 miles from Idaho, hunting Idaho over-the-counter, and then getting lucky and drawing one or two great tags every year. And then it just kind of expanded to the point where, you know, I was applying for 20-plus states and, you know, putting 50, 60 applications in a year, and every year drawing one to three great tags. And, you know, but I got 20 points in a lot of states in the West. I got lucky. I got started when I was 16. So I'm just hoping to outlive everybody and draw a Desert Sheep tag someday.
Yeah. Well, I got lucky. And I really, I mean, I had a lot of points, but I didn't have, you know, the same amount of points that some of these guys have. I don't remember where I read it, but I read somewhere that the average elk hunter, age of the average elk hunter is like 60 years old. Or not elk hunter, excuse me, sheep hunter. I was like, whoa, that's pretty crazy. And it was kind of evident too, because when I went to the banquet, when I drew, I mean, most of the guys in there were, you know, older, you know, late 50s, early 60s. And I was, and they were all like, they all were giving me the look like, oh, you little bastard, you can't believe you got it. I mean, I'm not that young. I'm 42. Well, I'm 41. Going to be 42. Yeah. So, but, so I got a couple of questions that I've been saving up here. And I actually kind of wanted to get you on earlier while we were still in draw season, and we'll probably do another one, you know, later on here in the year, or you know, at the end of the year when people are starting to look again. But draw season is coming to an end, and, you know, what kind of over-the-counter recommendations, what kind of opportunities do you suggest guys start looking at to kind of supplement their, you know, draw?
Well, it depends. I mean, let's narrow it down by species. I mean, do you want to talk mule deer? Do you want to talk blacktail, whitetail, elk?
Let's talk elk first, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about mule deer, because I think those are the two most popular. We'll start with those two, and then if anybody's got any questions, then we'll go. We'll expand on it.
Perfect. So for me, I live in Montana. Montana is a state that even as a non-resident, if you miss the draw, there's still roughly 1,000 elk tags still left over. So Montana is not a complete over-the-counter state, but usually the last 5 years, there's been tags available all the way through the hunting season. So Montana is one of the states we'll talk about. Idaho, another great state, Oregon, and, you know, Colorado. So those are probably the four states that come to mind for me when we're talking over-the-counter opportunity. Wyoming's a draw, you know, any of the Southwest states, Nevada, New Mexico, unless you got lots of money and you want to buy landowner tags, right. You know, we're going to rule all those out. So for me, Colorado, Oregon, Idaho, Montana. Colorado is probably one of the most popular because they have the most elk. It's one that I don't hunt because I live in Montana and I'm right next to Idaho and Oregon. So it's easier for me to hunt that country than to drive all the way to Colorado to hunt elk. And right. I like to chase bigger bulls on average. I'm not saying I'm a trophy hunter. I like to hunt Pope and Young type bulls. You know, if right. I can get a mature 6-point, I'm super jacked. And I know that any area in Montana or Idaho is going to produce that bull in most areas in Oregon. So it kind of depends on, you know, what my timeline's looking. You know, I personally like to hunt Idaho and Montana the most. You know, you've got a 6-week archery season in Montana followed by a 5-week rifle season in Oregon. Mm-hmm. You know, you're limited to the last week of August, most of September, and then Idaho most of the month of September. So those are my states that I go to. If I was a non-resident and didn't live in one of those states, I'd probably Idaho would be the state that I'd look at the most. You can purchase up to 2 tags. If you're up there and you're hunting elk and you stumble upon a bear, a mountain lion, or a wolf, and mm-hmm. that season's open, shoot that, put your elk tag on it, drive into town, buy another elk tag. And a lot of guys are afraid to get physical and really get into the backcountry. And everybody believes that there's no elk left in the West. The wolves have killed them all off. And, you know, there's plenty of elk and they're doing great. So it just takes a little bit of boot leather. I mean, it's not easy. We're not, you know, watching a Primos video and you're going to go out and be chasing 6-point bulls every day. I mean, you're going to have to work hard, but I mean, there's tons of bulls out here and there's almost more opportunity than there is time. Me and Garth Jensen were talking about this and like, we're so excited about all the opportunity hunts that we're doing this year that we had to cut hunts out because we had too many scheduled. So, I mean, it's guys, when guys tell me I haven't hunted in 3 years because I haven't drawn a tag, I just, there's so much opportunity out there that has great potential to kill a great animal, no matter what species it is. And that's what you need to do. And you got to get good before you draw a great tag. You got to have some right. experience. So yeah. no, I mean, it's unlimited opportunity, you know, in all these states. And most of them have, like, you know, a deer season in Oregon or Montana or Idaho that's going to happen at the same time, you know, in Colorado, all the deer's on a draw. But, you know, there's four states right there where with a bow, you can be chasing, you know, either sex elk. And, you know, then there's a lot of rifle stuff, you know, in the other states too. So it's
right.
There's a lot of opportunity right now in the West for guys to be hunting good bulls.
Yeah. I've hunted Colorado. I was not successful. Only went there one time. I hunted Montana, also was not successful. But mainly because I was splitting that hunt up between deer and elk, and I just got more excited about the deer that I was seeing than the elk. So I kind of spent most of my time trying to put a deer on the ground. But yeah, I mean, like you said, if and it's something I kind of wanted to touch on, that guys are not hunting, you know, and waiting to draw tags and basically not getting any experience. I've heard this all too many times, like, oh, you know, it's been 12 years since I've gone elk hunting. And, you know, if you're not like joining your friends or that are drawing tags and you're not getting out there, by the time you draw that tag, you're not even going to know what the heck to do. You know, or you're going to have to pay a guide or, you know, which is fine, but you're missing out by not going, out of state or, you know, going to look elsewhere, so to speak. Cause you know, you might, like you said, you live in a state. For me, everything's out of state if I want to get it over the counter, except for deer. But, I think it's foolish, you know, of course, you know, it's cost prohibitive too. If you can't do it, you can't do it. Nobody's going to knock you for not being able to do it. But even that, you know, get out there, take a couple of days off. One of your buddies draws, go out with them, get the experience. Because elk hunting, you know, it's one of those things. If you spent 12 years, 10 years, whatever, to draw a tag, you don't want to squander that opportunity. Yeah, that's just my opinion. But, anyway, if a guy or girl wants to start playing the draw game and, you know, they're relatively young, you know, mid-20s or whatever, or even up to about 30 years old, and they want to start looking at some of these premier hunts like sheep or moose or mountain goat, what are some of the things that – or not some of the things, but what are some of the states that they should be looking at for, let's say, let's start with sheep, to even have – you know, a mathematical chance of drawing a tag.
First of all, I just want to back up real quick to your last question. So mm-hmm. we talked about, you know, a guy waiting 12 years to do a hunt. You know, there's different thoughts about that. You could come out every single year, purchase an over-the-counter tag in Idaho, every year come out, give it a week, and you're learning as you go. And you're spending a week there, you're getting better, you're understanding elk. And, you know, what's the average guy kills a bull, you know, in these Western states, you know, probably one every 10 years. You know, if you're really good, you know, one every 5 years. If a guy wants to accelerate his learning curve, there's no reason not to, you know, come out and do a guided hunt and learn from those guys. That's the one thing that I see guys do wrong a lot is they'll go out and hunt three or four times and finally get some encounters and they don't know what to do. There's nothing wrong with going on a guided hunt your first time and just trying to figure things out, learn, then take all that knowledge and then start doing do-it-yourself hunts up front. You know, if you had to save for 2 years or 3 years to do that hunt, instead of going every year after that, you're going to have all that knowledge ahead of there. And then, you know, don't be a trophy hunter when you start out. You see a cow, yeah. You see a bull, put an arrow in it. You know, you get better by, you know, killing animals. Like, I watch some guys that are phenomenal 3D shooters that outshoot me and everybody I know all day long. You get an animal in front of them and they just can't handle it because they've never killed an animal. So just go out there and practice, but don't be afraid to do a drop camp or to do a guided hunt or to buy a scouting package. You know, elk hunting is awesome and everybody loves it, but it's a lot of work and they're big animals and you got to cover a lot of country to see them. So with that being said, you know, don't be afraid to get started. You know, that's the biggest problem is everybody doesn't want to take that step. You know, they're like, hey, I got this much money saved up. I'm going to buy some new gear. And they constantly buy new gear. They're like, oh, it's great gear. And they never go hunting. So, I mean, just take that first step. And even if it's going on someone else's elk hunt, like you said, and going out there and experiencing it, learn from there, and just kind of go that direction. But, I mean, that's if you really want to get into hunting the West, you know, you got to dive in with both feet and get out there and spend some time there, you know, and if you got to incorporate your family vacation to, you know, along with a hunt, you know, you got to do that. So, I mean, we get guys that call all the time and are doing things like that. So don't be afraid to get started. There's plenty of opportunities out here for everything you can think of. I could completely fill my schedule from mid-August until, you know, the middle of January on over-the-counter hunts and be hunting every single day. So you don't have to draw a tag. There's plenty of amazing adventures out there that are waiting to be had. And a lot of the biggest animals you see killed in the West every year are coming on some of these over-the-counter units.
Yep. And why? Because the guys that are killing them are getting out there and hunting every year. They're learning the terrain. They're learning the habits. They're learning everything about these animals. And that affords them the opportunity to kill a trophy like that. I mean, you see it all the time. I really like what you said about learning, you know, going with a outfitter and learning. It's something I kind of been preaching to people because there's a real big stigma, so to speak, that is even growing more and more within social media that I see guys getting bashed for using outfitters and people being made to feel bad that they used an outfitter or a guide. You know, there's certain different levels of what those are. Most guided hunts, it's basically like going with a buddy who knows the area really well, you know, and those, it's not like he's grabbing your hand and, you know, walking you through the woods and setting you up in a spot and saying, okay, he's going to come right here. I mean, and some of those hunts are like that, but, you do have to apply a lot of woodsmanship and hunting skill yourself. And it's a great way to learn from somebody who knows better than you. Moving on from that, I started to ask you about if guys, girls, whatever, wanted to get into, you know, like a sheep hunts or, you know, moose or mountain goat or something that's really hard to draw. You know, what are some of the states that they should be looking at that they have a mathematical chance of drawing?
Well, first we'll talk about sheep. You got to ask yourself, what sheep do I want to hunt? Do I want one sheep in my trophy room, or you got your elk, your deer, your moose? If you just want one sheep, don't even apply. Just go to Alaska and do adult sheep hunt and then be done and save all that money ahead. If you want the desert, want the Rocky, want all the sheep, then you got to jump in and, you know, it's almost, you want to go full tilt within reason. You know, the odds are essentially give or take under 3% for every draw there is for any of the Western states for sheep. So, I mean, there's no, you know, for sure sheep tags. I'm a perfect example. I'm 38 years old. I've been applying for sheep for over 20 years in most of the Western states. I've not drawn a sheep tag. You know, I've drawn mountain goat, moose, everything else. Haven't drawn a sheep tag. I talk to guys every year, first year ever applying, drew a Nevada Desert sheep tag. So it happens, but it hasn't happened to me yet. So if I had to pick a state, and, you know, I guess we'll break them down, that 20 and 30 year old, and, you know, they're going to go in for the long haul. So they're 20 or 30 years old and they're going to be in this until their hunting career is over. So the long haul, I would say Nevada. Nevada would be my number one state. Nevada is going to give 20 plus desert sheep tags. They're going to give 5 or 6 California sheep tags. When the Rocky Mountain herd kind of rebounds, they're going to give another Rocky Mountain tag. So at one point, we were applying for 3 different sheep tags there. Right now, you can apply for 2. So Nevada would be one of the – be the number one sheep state that I'd recommend someone jump in and start applying for. You know, to follow that up, they have a great – system where they square your bonus points, but everybody has a chance. It's not like Wyoming where 75% are, you know, held for the guys with the most points. You know, someone can draw Nevada with no points compared to a guy with 25 points. So Nevada is my number one state. I'm probably going to follow that up with Arizona just because the number of tags they give out there also. So Nevada and Arizona are going to be my number one and two states. We're talking for a young kid here. You know, so that's going to be number one. Number two, you know, after that, it's kind of going to start to get to a more gray area, maybe Colorado, maybe Montana, areas that states that have points where they're going to build over a lifetime.
Right.
So now we jump ahead to the 50-year-old guy, and he's like, I'm all in. I want to hunt sheep. Well, we're talking Idaho. We're talking Oregon. We're talking states that do not have a bonus point system. So he's equal to the guy that's been applying for 20 or 30 years. So the Idaho, you know, the Oregon, those are going to be the ones I'd recommend for those guys. You know, Montana, I live here. And I know residents that have lived here for 30 plus years, never drawn a sheep tag. I mean, if you want to hit that gym a little harder, you can come hunt the Unlimiteds. It's crazy. It's awesome. See grizzly bears. We've killed some rams in there. It's amazing. You know, there's 5 areas where you can buy a sheep tag over the counter. But, you know, you got to like grizzly bears and, you know, high lonesome places. So, you know, it's going to be one of those deals where no matter where you go, a sheep is going to be, when you do draw it, like you, for example, you probably had talked to guys that drawn sheep tags before, thought you could kind of understand the emotional, things that were happening when those guys would talk to you. And you kind of thought like, oh, I know what it's like. And then you drew your tag. And it's like, I had no idea what it was like.
Oh, nothing like you'd ever think of in your life.
Exactly. So, you know, that's a drug you can't buy, something like that, that just, you know, gets shot through your system. So, for sheep, it's one of those deals where I don't care if you're 20, I don't care if you're 12, you may never draw, but there's hope and you got to keep trying, you know, and if you got deep pockets, there's lots of other things. What I'd recommend for all those guys from 12 to 90 that are still applying for sheep is going on some of these raffles and don't get carried away, you know, and drop hundreds of thousands of dollars. I make sure I have my name at least in every raffle there is. And I might only buy one ticket, $10 here, $20 here, $20 here, but every one of those sheep draws throughout the West for raffles, my name is in the hat at least once. So sheep's a long haul. If you got deep pockets, you know, you can buy the tags, but other than that, you're just going to be playing this draw game like the rest of us and hoping for the best. That's kind of the worst of it. Everything else we talk about, there's a lot better chance of drawing tags. So, but sheep is the biggest draw there is, but, we're 20 to 25 years into a lot of these bonus point systems. I don't know what's going to happen. These guys are starting to unfortunately die off. We talk to guys every year and they're like, I'm 78 years old. I got 23 points for Arizona. Am I ever going to draw a tag? I don't know.
Probably
most likely
not.
Yeah. So, it's kind of sad. Yeah. But so sheep is tough. Moose, we'll jump over to them.
Yeah.
If you're looking for Shiras moose, the only state you should be applying for is Idaho. If you've got the extra financial means, man, Colorado's killing some giant bulls. Montana's always got some good bulls. Wyoming and then probably Utah. But if you can only apply for one state and you want the best odds of drawing, hands down, Idaho is where you need to apply for Shiras moose. And they got the best bulls. I mean, if you want to go and just kill a moose, you can go to Canada, you can go to Alaska, and you can go to Alaska and do a DIY hunt. So, but if you want to get technical, and a lot of guys do, and they want one of each of the moose, you know, your Shiras moose, Idaho is your best bet. If you want to talk Canadian moose, but you're a DIY guy and you don't want to go guided, think about applying for Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire. Maine's your best bet at drawing a tag, you know, and then same thing, Alaska, if you're DIY, you can go up there and do a good float hunt. It's just like we talked about on the elk. You've got to be willing to jump in. You got to take that step, you know, logistics, plan it out, do everything. But man, when you're up there and you're on a river for 14 days, it's the coolest thing in the world.
Right. Yeah. I've been putting in for New Hampshire and Maine for a long time. Got to be careful with them. If you miss it, don't you? You lose your points if you stop putting it. You miss a year, right?
Yes. Every one of those states are different. Some of them you miss one time, you're done. Others are up to 3 years. So yeah, no, it's a way where you can get those points purged fast.
I think Maine is, you miss it once, they're gone. I think, cause I want to say I lost my points. I don't remember if it was Maine or New Hampshire, but I lost it in one of the two and I had to restart over and I was so pissed cause I had, you know, probably 4 or 5 points and then, you know, I made a mistake or whatever, forgot to put in. But moose is definitely on the hit list. I've actually gone moose hunting twice in Canada. And another time I got to go in Idaho. I was invited onto a Native American to go hunting, you know, invited by the tribe to go hunting on their reservation. But I didn't score an elk. A moose on either one of them. Unfortunately, I didn't see any legal moose, any meeses. What about mountain goat? I know this is definitely like one of my top hit lists. I'm a big, big fan. I really, really want to go mountain goat hunting.
So it's the same kind of thing with the sheep. I mean, if you are planning to go on a guided mountain goat hunt, when you draw, there's really no reason to be applying in the lower 48. Go to Alaska, you know, spend the money, go on a great guided hunt, kill a bigger goat than you'd probably kill down here, and you can plan it on your timeline, on your schedule, when you're ready to go, plan it a year or two out, and you can have a great adventure. If you want to play the draw game, you know, Montana, you know, Colorado, Nevada, given on resident goat tag this year, Wyoming, Idaho, Oregon, Washington, all those have great goats, but they're very stringent on the amount of goat tags they give. A lot of these states manage herds for like, you know, one tag per 75 or 100 goats in the herd. Montana is the only state that gives a ton of goat tags. Montana gives more non-resident goat tags than all the other states combined. So if I was going to tell a guy that wanted to come up and do it on himself, do it, hunt himself, Montana is a state to apply. I drew a tag back in 2004. Me and my buddies went in with a bow, killed a great billy. It was an amazing hunt, you know, and I've been applying for the last couple of years, hoping to draw another tag. But if you really just want to kill a good goat and you want to go on a guided hunt, the amount of money that you would spend applying for those 5 or 6 states we talked about, you could pretty much go to Alaska and do the hunt that in the time frame it might take you to draw those other tags.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, it's the one thing with a goat, if you just want to do it, Alaska is your way to go. And you can do everything from, you know, fly-in hunts to backpack hunts to boat hunts where you're hunting, you know, off the ocean. You know, combine it with Sitka blacktail deer on Kodiak. You can, you know, combine it with bear hunting. And then there's places like on Kodiak Island where you can actually shoot 2 goats. So you can go up on one trip and shoot 2 mountain goats. So if you're really looking to do a goat hunt and you want to do it on your timeline, you might want to just go to Alaska and go up there and have a great adventure.
Yeah. We just got a question from Xavier Cardova. He was asking about New Mexico. How easy? I've tried to check out their website. It's kind of confusing. I'm assuming maybe we'll have to, I just texted him over here, sent him a message here that's asked him what species he was talking about. I mean, I've been, antelope and elk. He just answered back. So for antelope and elk, how is New Mexico for a place to apply?
So New Mexico is kind of neat because there's no bonus point system. So everybody's equal. The draw is broke down. You can apply for 3 different areas. And if they pull your name out of the hat, they'll go through your first choice, second choice, and third choice. And you can mix and match archery, muzzleloader, rifle. In New Mexico, muzzleloader, you can use a scope. So with New Mexico, because there's no draw odds and everybody's equal every year, non-residents are limited to 6% of the tags. Non-residents that go with an outfitter are limited to 10%. So, I mean, the draw odds are a little bit tough, but there's a lot of really cool areas like down in the Gila, units 15, 13, 16, 17. Got to spend a ton of time down there, tons of public land, great bulls. It's just a little tough drawing tags. Right. That's really what it comes down to. I think I've drawn 2 or 3 elk tags in about 15 years. And I'm not putting in for the best of the best. I'm putting in for areas where I know I can go in, work hard, and hopefully kill a really good bull. But I've got friends. I got a buddy, Trail, who drew a unit this year and drew the same tag last year, archery. So he drew back-to-back years. And he went in last year, killed a great bull. So he's a lucky guy. Hopefully he kills another big bull. But on the antelope, it's a little different. Most of the antelope in New Mexico are found on private land. If you draw an archery tag, you can kind of hunt the unit that you're assigned to. If you draw a rifle tag, they'll actually assign you to a ranch. So, you might own a 20,000-acre ranch. I own a 10,000-acre ranch and all the other ranches. They draw out 500 guys, and then the fishing game will assign these 5 guys to this ranch, these 8 guys to this ranch, maybe 2 guys to this small ranch. So you get assigned a ranch. If you draw a rifle antelope tag in New Mexico, you don't have to worry about getting permission because you got assigned a ranch to hunt. You'll get the ranch manager's, phone number, and, it's hit or miss. If that ranch was managed for big antelope, you could kill a giant. If it's been overhunted, you might not kill a giant. So, but it's a great opportunity, and New Mexico produces a ton of 75 to 80 inch goats, and on the better units, man, they kill some giants.
Yeah, I think from my experience with New Mexico, I feel like with antelope specifically, you're almost better to go buy a landowner tag, because most of the guys that are selling landowner tags aren't really selling them for that much. I feel like the amount of time that you wait to draw an antelope tag there, you could get a much better experience on a landowner. I know, like, for instance, like Matt Woodward, he'd run some hunts, in New Mexico, and it's a fairly reasonable hunt to have a fully guided hunt. And I'm sure there's guys out there that are just selling tags too, but a fully guided hunt with a guaranteed tag and stuff for, relatively inexpensive. But if you really, in my opinion, if you want to go antelope hunting, put in for Wyoming, put in for archery in Wyoming and get a tag and go. I've never not drawn. So, but I don't put in for super trophy units either, but I've taken like 6 different, 6 antelope out of Wyoming.
No, your big states for giant antelope are going to be Arizona, Nevada, Wyoming, and New Mexico. So Wyoming, giant bucks can come from anywhere. And as you get to the northeast portion of the state, probably where you're applying, those are going to have pretty much guaranteed tags. You can draw them every year. Some units you can get 2 tags. Start getting down to the Red Desert, all that stuff in the south, it's going to be a lot harder to draw the tag. You put in for the type 1 or type 2, draw it, pay the extra 30-some bucks, then you can hunt archery in that time before. So, antelope hunting, back to opportunity, there's not a lot of over-the-counter antelope hunting opportunities. So kind of like the landowner tags in New Mexico is kind of your best bet. And that goes right back to what we said about Alaska mountain goat. Mm-hmm. If you want to go on the hunt, you're like, just buy landowner tag, it's cheap. Same thing with mountain goat in Alaska. You want to just go on the hunt on your time, just go to Alaska and shoot a nice goat. Because not a lot of guys want to necessarily kill multiple mountain goats. I mean, I do, but I mean, most guys just so kill one. It's a notch on their, bucket list, and then they move on. So antelope and elk in New Mexico are some of their better species. They got some giant sheep, and they got some really cool exotics. I mean, I've been down there and hunted the Floridos, and we've hunted Audad, and it's really cool. The deer down there, I like the coos deer better than the mule deer personally. Some really cool units around the Jicarilla that have some giant bucks, but drawn tags are super hard.
Yeah. Now, refresh my memory. New Mexico has over-the-counter archery, though, don't they, for deer?
It depends on the unit. Like, okay. I know that a lot of the tags, they're set aside. So at least the stuff I hunt in the southwest corner of the state, they're not over-the-counter for archery. It's all limited.
Right. Jeremiah just asked a question about Arizona units for elk, but we'll address that in a second. I just want to finish up here with New Mexico. New Mexico is like, it's strange. I drew an elk tag like 10 years ago that I applied, never drew again. I drew an Ibex tag in 2015 and then drew again in 2016. So it's like, it's crazy. I mean, you always have an opportunity, like you were saying earlier, because everybody's kind of on a level playing field. I mean, as a non-resident, you are severely limited because you're in a very small pool, small tag pool. Just for instance, that Ibex tag, if you're putting in unguided, there's like 5 tags or 6 tags available for non-resident? Yeah. So. Yeah.
But before they made that big switch and everybody was equal, you could draw it almost every year.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's before it was popular. You know what? I put in for 9 years before I drew that tag. And I was like, I was beside myself because everybody I knew was drawing it, you know, and then it all of a sudden became popular. And then they made that switch and it's like, forget about it. Everybody wanted to shoot an Ibex and, you know.
Social media.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So, okay. So Jeremiah was asking, what are the best to try with 2 or 3 points for elk? I'm assuming you're talking about the rut and archery. I don't know if you're talking about rifle, late rifle, or if you just want to go elk hunting, I would say late rifles are the easiest to draw, but go ahead and see if you could sum up some of that. 2 or 3 points elk hunting in Arizona.
So 2 or 3 points elk hunting, half the tags are going, you know, to random now. So everybody has a chance. If I had 2 or 3 points, I'd be looking to hunt the November archery. I think with that, you'd be hunting every 2 or 3 years. You're hunting before those November rifle hunters. It's total spot in stock, but those bulls aren't receiving a ton of pressure. You're hunting some of the best units that have some giant bulls in them. So I burned my 13 points this year, and I'll be hunting late archery every 2 to 3 years from now on. So that's kind of would be my first choice. If you're not an archery hunter, those late rifle hunts, all those tags, you're going to have tons of hunters. You're going to have to work harder to get away from them. But again, you're going to weed through some broken bulls, but there's a lot of good bulls to be had in Arizona. So just stay away from unit 9. It's too flat. It's a pain. I hunted it late once. It's miserable. So, but if I had 2 to 3 points in Arizona, that's what I'd be doing. Other than that, you're kind of like those old guys we talked about, sheep. You know, you got 17, 18 points. All of a sudden you feel you have something now. It's like, I have 17 or 18 points. So you put more value into those points than they're really worth. I worked with a guy years ago by the name of Dave Loescher, and he had the coolest saying ever. I wish it would have been mine, but he said, I'd rather pack deer than points. Yep. And that works with everything. Elk, deer, anything. It's like when a guy calls me up and he's like, I got 18 points for Colorado deer. I feel sorry for him. I'm like, wow, I would have rather you said, I've shot 9 bucks in the last 18 years in Colorado than I have 18 points. So I'm all about not having a lot of points. If I do get a lot of points, it's just because I got bad luck. But I try to burn mine as soon as I can for the best hunt I can get, because I want to be out there as much as possible. You know, so 2 to 3 points in Arizona.
Same strategy. You know, because the way I see it, I mean, people ask me this question I get all the time. What's the best trophy unit to put in for? And I'm like, especially if you're talking about Arizona, okay? We're talking about Arizona elk. There is literally a 400-inch bull in every unit that you can hunt here. I don't care what unit you're talking about. On all the normal draw hunt, there you can, if you do your work, there's one to be found. Not to say that you're going to get them. You know, and they're not around every corner and every tree. There's not, you know, a screaming bull waiting for you to put an arrow in them. But so, like, I really don't want to give up the unit, but I drew a unit back to back years, and it's not a unit that you would consider trophy, you know, a trophy bull unit. And literally twice, 2 years in a row, I've seen the biggest bulls I've ever seen on the hoof on that hunt. And going back to that late archery season, I've drawn that 2 times, unit 7 and unit 5B, and I've scored on both hunts. The tactics just change, you know, you're hunting them like deer, and you're not getting to call and, you know, chase bugles and stuff like that. But the bulls are still there on that. In 2011, when I drew that unit 7 hunt, I've been scouring my video footage because I'm trying to find it. We glassed up like a legitimate 415, 420 bull. And like, you know, I made a play for him and he gave me the slip, but I mean, that's a giant, giant bull for anywhere in the country. And that was a tag that nobody wanted. You could draw it back then when I drew it in 2011, nobody put in for that tag. Nobody was putting in for that. Now some people have caught on, said, hey, you know, it could be done. Let me put in for the units. But yeah, I don't think it's going back to what we were saying earlier. Do you want to hunt or do you want to, you know, play lottery and just play around with the draws? I mean, I want to hunt. So I'm going to take whatever opportunity. I purposely look for those units that have a happy balance between the chance of me drawing the tag and opportunity at scoring an animal. So units that have good densities, respectable animals, or respectable trophy class animals, you know, nothing. I don't look for those units are like, oh, this is, you know, like, I never apply for unit 10 in Arizona or unit 1 or anything like that. I never have in my whole life. Because I know that I can go hunt in a, I don't know, a 6A or something like that and find a really good bull still. And I'll get to hunt it 2-3 times before I would draw that other tag. So, I think that's all I had as far as questions. I know we were starting to talk a little bit about OTC tags, and I kind of threw you off that. What we talked a little bit about the elk. What about deer for over the counter opportunity?
So I'll touch on a couple states. So the first one I'll touch on is Oregon. Oregon, I like over the counter deer. You can buy the deer tag. It's going to start that last week of August. Go through September, last week of September. You can go down and hunt pretty much anywhere in southeast Oregon. It's total desert country. Kind of looks like that Nevada, Idaho stuff. The Steens Mountain Ranges, you know, the Owyhee, you know, Wild Horse, Juniper, Malheur River, all that country. It's totally over-the-counter, unlimited tags. So you can go down there and you can hunt. And you can spend as much time or as little time as you want. Anytime you can find water in association with some buck brush, you know, you're going to be, you know, looking at some good deer in that country. You might have to cover a lot because the deer densities are low, but there's the true potential to turn up a giant in any of that country. Mm-hmm. The cool thing about Oregon is, let's say you do buy that deer tag, and you do not kill your buck, you can go back into November and you can go onto the western third of the state and you can hunt in November and you can hunt archery blacktail, you know, as they're rutting on that same tag. So that same tag, you can kind of get two different, completely different hunts out of that same tag. So that's one opportunity for deer I like is Oregon. The next one's Idaho. You know, Idaho has lots of different season dates. So they've got a whitetail tag and a mule deer tag, or a general deer tag and a whitetail tag. I like personally getting the general tag because it gives me the opportunity to hunt everything. I can go to any of the units that are available and I can go there and I can hunt the archery season, the month of September. And if I don't kill, then I'm going to have the October rifle hunt. So I can go through the October rifle hunt and let's say that I still didn't kill. Well, then there's a couple units, you know, up north by Riggins that you can, you know, go into, and they're more wilderness type units that they're going to run through, you know, like, you know, mid to late November. So you can, your hunt is still going. If you don't kill there, you can go late November, December up into the panhandle and you can chase whitetails. And if you still didn't kill there, you can drop all the way down to the southern end of Unit 55 and you can hunt bucks in November and December, you know, that are pushing out, still rutting in the sagebrush with a bow. So that one over-the-counter tag in Idaho pretty much took you from the 1st of September through December. So I like tags like that I'm not 1 week and I'm done. So right. Idaho and Oregon, really like those for deer. Montana is not really going to have deer tags available over-the-counter. Same with Colorado, Wyoming, you know, you can find some leftover tags, but it's going to be spotty. You're going to be hunting with a GPS. Utah, Nevada, everything else is going to be on a draw. And then you drop down into Arizona, and you know there's lots of opportunity in Arizona for archery hunts. You know, you can do the August hunt. If you don't kill, you can come back and hunt late. You know, your tag's good for the whole year. I know some guys will go down and start at Christmas and hunt through the new year and shoot $2 and do that every other year. You know, so, I mean, those are some of the really cool opportunities that are available. Once you get into the Dakotas, there's some cool stuff for the whitetails, you know, out into Nebraska and Oklahoma. But, you know, for just big time opportunity mule deer, I'd kind of lean. And if you're an archery hunter, Oregon, and if you're a rifle hunter, I'd probably go Idaho. You know, that'd be where I'd be sinking my teeth to go in. And the cool thing about Idaho is, let's say we go up there and I find a nice 24-inch, 150-inch buck and make a great shot, take him down, put him in the meat locker, go into town and buy another tag and go back out and keep hunting. So, I mean, how cool is that? You can shoot $2 there, you know. That's so huge. There's so much opportunity in all that country. And then the thing I like about Idaho is there's so many different animals you can hunt, you know.
Right.
I recommend everybody that's hunting, you know, in any country that has elk has a wolf tag in their pocket. And, you know, there's lots and lots of opportunity, more opportunity than there is time. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I put it for Idaho every year. I just got my my Idaho refund back for mountain goat. You started touch on the Dakotas. I love hunting South Dakota. It's a great deer state. And it's actually a very good antelope state. Still my best buck that I've shot, is out of South Dakota, that very western, you know, border of Wyoming, that whole prairie. And there's a lot of public land to be hunted. I mean, there's a lot of private land there too, and it pays to have an Onyx or a GPS that has, overlays. But it's a good, and it's a draw, but it's a draw like first come, first serve draw. So it's like basically a guaranteed tag for archery. Rifle's a little harder to draw, but it's a great unit. I have gone 4 times, and I've shot 3 whitetail and also my biggest muley. So I'm going to take my camera off my deal here. That's my South Dakota mule deer. And that's my South Dakota antelope. Those are my two biggest of the species. I've never actually shot that's my biggest muley I've ever shot, 182. Oop. And and that's my biggest antelope, 78 inches. So it's a great place to hunt. I don't overlook it. I know people don't look at it much because they don't really consider – it's really not the West. It's the Midwest. It's where the Midwest meets the West, in my opinion. You could pretty much split the state down half the middle, and you know, you'll feel like you're in the Midwest on the east side of it, and you'll feel like you're in the West on the west side of it. You know, it's a great place to look. As a matter of fact, I'm going back this year. I'm hopefully putting together a hunt here for November to go chase them around in a rut. I go bow hunting while the rifle hunt's going on, and had great success. So,
you know, and other opportunities to touch on that sometimes get overlooked is there's a lot of reservation opportunities, you know, throughout Arizona, New Mexico, Montana, where you can pick up tags very cheap. There's a lot of areas in Idaho and Montana that have reservations where for $2,000, $2,500, you can get 2 antelope tags and go with somebody and go on a guided antelope hunt for 3 days. So pretty darn inexpensive. You know, it's on a reservation, you know, so there's those opportunities. And the other one is landowner tags. You know, everybody thinks of landowner tags and they just see huge price tags and they're like, oh, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000. You know, I hunt Colorado deer every single year. I draw a tag and with my 1 point, and then next year I don't have a point, so I'll pick up a landowner tag for $400 to $600. And then the next year I'll draw a tag. So every year I'm hunting Colorado and I'm going and I'm hunting these units that have $400 landowner tags, and they might be archery, might be muzzleloader. You know, I'm killing really nice, respectable bucks. And every once in a while we kill a real great buck, you know, but it comes back to just wanting to hunt every year and not wait. So just because, you know, a tag is cheap just doesn't mean that it's not good. It doesn't mean that you can't go in there and work hard to make something happen. So no, I mean, this time of year, guys didn't draw. Guys are thinking opportunity and guys are thinking landowner tags, you know, and like Logan Hedges runs our landowner tag for the Hunt and Full program. So you can go to Hunt and Full, look at our landowner tag page, see every tag that's available. Maybe there's something in there for you. Talk to him. That gives an extra hunt. And then we've been working really hard right now, Isaiah, you know, Austin, me, Jared, Stan, and Garth, on getting our August and July issues together. And those are complete opportunity. The July and August magazine are nothing but over-the-counter opportunities that you can pick up a tag and go hunting. So, awesome. I mean, we're just like everyone else. We're going to fill in our seasons. You know, I'm probably going to start in Oregon and I'm probably going to end in Arizona. And I would say that, you know, 8 to 10 of the hunts that I'll do this year are going to be over the counter tags. You know, same thing with my kids. It's like, you want your kids to hunt, get them hunting. Don't build them points. You know, like if you wait till your kid's 14 or 15, you might have lost him to sports and friends and everything else, but you can get them hunting at 10, 12 years old. I mean, they're just going to be, you know, jacked and excited and want to continue to do it. So I don't know. I think the whole social media world is pushing trophy hunting, and, you know, everything's got to be DIY and hardcore. And if you can't lift 500 pounds, you can't kill a deer. But I think it really comes down to just having fun with your friends and family and kids. And, you know, when you pull the trigger on something, be happy with it, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, if someone's going to take something away from an animal you killed, that's not someone you want in your life. I mean, I don't care if I watch a 30-year-old guy kill a forked horn or a 400-inch bull. I'm going to be just as happy for him, you know.
If he's happy, if he's got a smile on his face. I use my father-in-law as an example all the time. A few years back, he shot his first antelope, and I mean, like this. But you would have thought he shot the biggest goat in the country, because he had this big shit-eating grin on his face. He was so happy. He was hugging everybody, slapping everybody's backs. He bought everybody dinner that night. It was his first spot and stalk archery antelope. It was first antelope, period. And she was just super happy. And that's what it's all about, you know, sharing those times and those experiences, and, you know, matching. Some of us, and myself included, it's about matching your wits against, you know, a formidable adversary, and whether that's a 2-point or a, you know, a giant, you know, 5x6 or whatever, you know, it's to each his own. And I've been a big proponent of that, you know, whatever makes you happy, just have fun with it, man. So, well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing some knowledge with us. Where can our listeners find out more about you and Hunting Full?
So you can go to huntful.com, and that's our website, and you can breeze through that and follow us there, see about us, learn more about us. If you subscribe to the Hunt and Full magazine, it's $100 a year. You get 12 publications. You get to personally talk to me, Garth Jensen, you know, Austin Atkinson, Isaiah, Jared, any of the other guys in there about draw strategies, application strategies. Just if you did draw a tag, like I've been on the phone all morning with guys that are finding out they drew Colorado, and, you know, helping them set up their hunts. So, I mean, you know, we can help you find outfitters. We can help you do it yourself. And, you know, that's what we're here for. So we've been doing this for 21 years now. And, you know, we got a member draw list that's pretty darn long, where a guy draws a great tag, he can follow you there. If you want to follow me personally, you can find me on Instagram. I'm just Robert Hanneman, or on Facebook, Robert Hanneman. You know, we try to keep up to date on the majority of our stuff there. But if you go to Instagram or, you know, Facebook, anything, Twitter, you can go to Hunt and Full, and you can see kind of all of us, you know, going through our year there. So, no, any questions, check out Hunt and Full. And like I said, we appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come in here.
Thank you.
Like I said, it's pretty cool. It's an exciting time of year. We still got a few more draw results around the corner. You know, guys at the office, Garth drew a Arizona rifle late bull tag. I drew an archery bull tag. Jeff Warren drew a Nevada a bull tag this year. Jared Lyle drew a Nevada archery tag. Austin Atkinson knocked it out of the park, drew Idaho bighorn sheep tag this year. And I know Stan has got a third season in Colorado deer tag that he's pretty jacked about this year. And then I know Isaiah's, I think he's leaning hard on over-the-counter opportunities. So,
yeah.
No, it's going to be a great, fun year for us. And like I said, follow along on our ventures. It's a great time. We do a lot of exciting stuff.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. And I'm sure, like I said, we'll have you guys on again once we get closer to getting back into draw season so guys can start thinking about, you know, where and what to put in for. We'll, you know, open the door back up for people to ask questions and so on and so forth. So, well, thank you again. And thanks guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
All right, cool. It went well. I was quite a few people listening in. I'll post this up as a regular podcast and then I'll put it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'll probably take it down off of Facebook just because I'd rather people go to my YouTube and watch it. So
yeah, nice.
We'll make the damn shit.
Yeah, I would send it to Austin, you know, and then Austin can like, I don't know, between me and Garth, we've probably done 20 podcasts for different people at this point.
Oh, wow.
So he can go ahead and, you know, like a lot of times he'll put an email out and be like, hey, check out this and throw links to it. So he can do that for you too. But sweet. Austin would be the guy to do all that stuff.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem, man.
Real quick on that, on those landowner tags for $400 in Colorado, what's that all about? That's something I think I want to get into.
So, part of our job is to learn areas. So like I just kind of threw a dart last year and picked up a 501 muzzleloader tag and went in and killed a 178 inch buck. And it was really great. And then, so I got another one last year and I had me and Garth Jensen drew the elk tags and I picked up the deer tag. I think it might have been $600 last year. Mm-hmm. And went in there for, you know, mid-September and was chasing great bucks. And we could have killed a better buck. I ended up wounding a big buck, like a buck, a 180 buck.
Oh, wow.
But Austin ended up killing that buck. So because he had the third season rifle tag and he went in and shot the buck, same drainage he was in. And you know, he's a stud. He's got two kickers off both sides. But there's a lot of, you know, $500, $400 to $600 landowner tags that, you know, are great hunts in Colorado that you just, you know, they're not the best season dates. You're just going to have to work harder on them. But no, we've killed some great stuff over there. Yeah.
I'm not afraid of working hard. Yeah. Actually, I kind of prefer it. So no. Cool. All right, cool, man. Well, thanks for taking the time and I'll talk with you guys soon.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Anything else, Dean, let me know.
We'll do. Bye.